This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Sharitz Abdullah. And the stock market seems to have recovered from the turmoil that started on Friday when the trade war flared up between the US and China. In fact, US stocks rebounded for the second day on signs the Trump administration is working towards easing tensions with its trade partners.
So none other than Bloomberg reported that President Trump will postpone by up to 6 months a decision on car tariffs that was due by Saturday. The S&P 500's two-day gain was the biggest in more than a month, but the benchmark is still down over 3% since the trade war with China flared up again last week. The S&P is up by 0.6%, the Dow is up by 0.45%, and the Nasdaq is up by 1.1%.
Yeah, so Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin also said that negotiators were close to a deal with Mexico and Canada on removing the metal tariffs, helping to boost indexes. So as we just mentioned, Bloomberg reports that Trump will postpone the decision on the car tariffs by up to 6 months, it was initially due by Saturday. The president will give the EU and Japan 180 days to agree to a deal that would limit or restrict imports into the US of automobile and their parts.
Yes, because President Trump is, as we all know, slightly obsessed with the U.S. trade deficit, and the EU and Japan are the second and third largest deficits that the U.S. has after China. So in return for delaying a new auto tariff, this is in return for delaying new auto tariffs, according to a draft executive order seen by Bloomberg. So sources told Bloomberg that Trump is expected to sign the order this week, and American and German car makers jumped on the news, especially the German makers.
Yeah, which is all a bit anomalous because it's only a six-month reprieve. After that, Trump thinks that foreign car makers are thwarting American car makers, despite the fact that they're probably better built, with lower cost and higher quality.
And I think on another note on national security, according to the order, the administration has determined that import of cars into the U.S. At present is a threat to national security because they have hurt domestic producers and their ability to invest in new technologies. A report by the Commerce Department had found that America's innovation capacity is now at a serious risk as import continues to displace American-owned production. And the order goes on to say that the lag in R&D expenditures by American-owned firms is weakening the innovation also threatening to impair our national security.
Yeah, so where negotiations go from here is really anyone's guess. I mean, Japanese and European officials have made clear that they're unlikely to agree to a deal like the one that Mexico and Canada have agreed to in the new NAFTA, where they agreed to limit exports of cars and parts to the US as part of the renegotiated treaty, although the limits are still far above current exports. Now, on the line, we have with us Rajiv Biswas, Asia-Pacific Chief Economist from IHS Markets, to give us a little bit of insight into the global markets. Thanks so much for joining us, Rajiv. China's Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index rose 2.5% and 0.9% respectively. So on the same note, China's economic activity cooled last month as growth in factory production, investment and retail sales slowed. So what can investors make of this domestic data in light of the ongoing trade war?
I think coming on the heels of President Trump's announcement that China will face higher American tariffs on $200 billion of their exports to the U.S., which kicked in last Friday. The latest Chinese trade data, which economic data for the month of April, is actually quite bad news for China because it means not only is the export story under threat because of the higher U.S. tariffs, but also domestic demand seems to be cooling. A particular concern was retail sales, which has slowed down to only 7.2% growth year on year in April. This is extremely low, the lowest for decades. And in the last 5 or 6 years, consumption has been the biggest driver of Chinese economic growth. So if you have both consumption slowing and exports being hit because of the U.S. tariffs, this is not good news for the Chinese growth outlook. So we've just cut our forecast for the Chinese economy for 2019. Not a very big cut, but we've trimmed our forecast by about 0.2%. But the problem for China is that the U.S. is planning another round of tariff hikes if no deal can be reached. And that would put a further hole in their exports. So the outlook right now for the Chinese economy is for some moderation in their growth outlook this year. And this is also affecting the whole Asian manufacturing supply chain that exports to the Chinese manufacturing sector. So many other countries in Asia are also affected by the impact of this trade war and by the slowdown in domestic demand within China as well.
Yeah, Rajiv, Australia's election is just several days away and the main opposition Labour Party is still leading in opinion polls. In your opinion, can Australia continue its unbroken record of growth amidst the slowing economic growth under the stewardship of the Labour Party?
At the moment, we still expect that the Australian economy can continue to show positive growth in the order of about 2.5% over the next couple of years under either party, whether the Liberals win or whether the Labour Party win. There will be some change in emphasis on tax policies, but both governments have committed to continuing efforts to try to keep the government deficit under control and to reach surpluses. Under the Liberal government, they planned a surplus by next year. The Labour Party is also saying that they will aim as a key priority to have successive surpluses over the medium term. I think one of the things that's helping Australia right now is that some of its major exports have had favorable price effects. Particularly iron ore has been boosted recently, so that's very important for government revenue, that the iron ore price is very strong. And also LNG exports have benefited from a rebound in global LNG prices in the last 2 or 3 years. And a lot of new projects have come on stream in LNG in Australia that's made it the world's largest exporter of LNG now. So these things are helping to keep the government revenue positive and to keep the economy growing.
Thank you so much. And that was Rajiv Biswas, Asia Pacific Chief Economist at IHS Market. And he still expects the Australian economy will show signs of growth, even if we see an upset in the government. And that's because Australian elections are coming up this weekend. And current Prime Minister Scott Morrison is seeking another term in office, but it looks to be a somewhat tough hill for him to climb.
That's right. The Labour Party wants to cut taxes, increase spending on lower income voters, and raise minimum wages. So I guess it's no surprise that Morrison's opposition is leading in opinion polls. So these polls show that the Labour Party is set for a comfortable election victory over the incumbent Liberals this weekend. And it's a bit weird, right? Because Australia has had a whole series of different governments this last decade. In just the last 5 years, I think there have been several, in fact, 3 or 4 prime ministers.
And there have been 6 in the last 10, and
six
there
in
have
the
been
last
3
10.
In the last 5, 6 years-ish.
So the way Bloomberg have written the story is that the headline is "The world's most successful economy looks set to swing left." And it's true. They've had 28 years of unbroken GDP growth. Hmm. And that's astounding.
And that's, again, despite the change of prime minister over the past, 3 years. And at 2.5%, that's what Rajiv has said earlier. And we're looking at one of the, Bill Shorten, lead Labour to office for the first time since 2013, and and whether or not the Liberals can pull off a surprise victory. And if he does, he'll be the 8th Prime Minister in the past 12 years.
Yeah, I think it will depend on what kind of policies both parties put forward and whether or not they resonate with the people. For example, both parties have very different views on economic management, on climate change, as well as on income and company tax. Now, we'll be coming back with more local news for you after this. We're going to be taking a look at the government's new debt management office. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.